Well, hey, Bridgeway, welcome to Church Online, Church at Home. I'm so glad that you tuned in today to be a part of our service. Before we begin, I actually want to give you an update on something I'm really excited about, kind of give you an announcement here. Of course, while things have been shut down and closed up inside of the building, by God's grace, we've been able to do a really cool project out here. You might recognize where I'm standing. There's kind of the old pavilion, and behind me is a big pile of dirt. Never been so excited about dirt. On the other side of that is a project that we were given through a grant program to remove the old dam that was there back when this was a paper mill. There's a bunch of concrete and rebar, and through this grant, we're able to remove and really restore that to a natural habitat. I'm so grateful that this church is not only about the redemption, but also the restoration of life here on the river. In fact, those piles of dirt, kind of an interesting story, those are actually part of the Rockford High School stadium reconstruction, and we're reusing their clean fill dirt here to plane out kind of the area behind me leading into the floodplain. So some exciting stuff that's happening here, and I can't wait till you can be back here to see what's going on around the building. In fact, that was the other thing I wanted to address just real briefly. I know many people have been asking, when can we get back to church? Man, I tell you, I've been thinking about that a lot, and as an elder team and a leadership here, I want you to know that we are thinking and praying and giving a lot of attention to what that looks like to come back to church and what that timeline will look like. I don't have the answers for you right now, but do know that we are thinking and praying and really trying to come up, discern the best possible plan to get back to church and also to protect our people. I would ask you to continue to pray for us as a leadership, pray for God just to give the right insight into how we do that. In fact, thinking about prayer, why don't we go back inside for today's message? Hey, Bridgeway, let's talk about prayer. I want to thank you for tuning in and being part of our services here, Church Online, Church at Home. And for those of you who are just joining us today, we've been in a series talking about prayer, not as an idea, but as something that we can actually do. We can trust God during a time where there's a lot of hurt in our world right now. And my hope in this series has been that you would begin to grow in this relationship you have with God, to talk and to listen to God. I also know that when I start preaching on a topic like prayer, I know a lot of people can kind of feel almost this sense of guilt, like, oh, I'm not doing enough. And I want to say at the very beginning of this message that that is not my intention at all. I don't want to be that guy that makes you feel more guilty or more ashamed or more of a burden of, oh, I should be praying more. In fact, I believe that there's an opportunity to unlock in each one of us this divine conversation with God. And that should be unburdened and unstressful. That should be something that gives life to every single person. In fact, today what I want to do more than anything else is I want to encourage you in your prayer journey. And the way in which I want to do that is actually, I think this is going to be a shorter message. How often do you hear a preacher say that? I want to actually tell you what I think the problem is with prayer. Why people don't pray more. I think I've discovered what the problem is. And by praying more, I mean you praying more and me praying more. I think I've figured out what the problem is. I mean, in fact, you read through the Bible, you read through the life of Jesus and the first church, you see that the people that followed Jesus, they prayed a lot. In fact, there's one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, that is kind of the hallmark for praying a lot. It says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a challenging little piece of scripture. I hope that even during this COVID-19 pandemic, that God is showing you ways in which you can rejoice always, to have joy filling your life, and to give thanks, to have an attitude of gratitude, as it says, in all circumstances. But I think it's probably that middle phrase, pray continually, that is the hardest for people to do. I mean, how's that going for you? Is it a 24/7 nonstop prayer party in your spiritual life. If you find that difficult, then you're not alone. In fact, a lot of studies have been done on habits and patterns of Christians when it comes to the topic of prayer. A recent study was done by Lifeway Research, and they found that in the United States, 40% of Christians are committed to praying at least once per day. The most common prayer, 74% of the prayers that are offered, are for problems and difficulties that individuals are facing either in their own life or with a loved one, for a family member or a friend. 74% of prayers are sort of in this category of, God, help me. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good way to pray. But you dig into the responses, and the things that people pray for kind of get sort of interesting to dig into. It said that about 15% of people pray that nothing that they've done that was bad in their life could ever be found out, like that they're never outed for something bad that they've done in their life. 5% of people pray that a coworker is fired. Yikes. 7% of people admitted to praying for a good parking spot. Another 7% admitted to praying that they wouldn't be caught speeding. 13% of people pray for their favorite sports team to win the championship. And get this, 21% of people pray that they would win the lottery. That's a lot of prayer for the lottery. I'm just saying, just saying. But 40% of Christians pray. And you can look at studies that have been done on other faiths, and you find that it's in about that same 30 to 50% of all faith traditions pray. Buddhists pray a little bit more. Jehovah's Witnesses pray a lot. Muslims pray a little bit less. On average, those are sort of the numbers that I've seen. But regardless, it raises this question, why don't 100% of people of faith, of all faiths, pray? And as I said, I think I've figured out the problem why. Why don't we pray more? And maybe to get you thinking about this, let me ask you something right now. How are you doing with motivation? Like, what's your general level of motivation and drive right now? Are you feeling like off the charts motivated? In conversations that I've had with people, I sense that there's a demotivation effect that's going on right now in a lot of people's lives. Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor, thanks. I mean, you don't need to remind me that I'm feeling unmotivated, that I'm lacking kind of my routine and the ways in which that I just naturally fell into a pattern of being motivated. In fact, for so many people, things have changed, have been postponed and canceled, that it's sort of taken away, taken the breath out of them to be motivated in the way in which they normally are. In fact, a lot of people have told me that they just feel exhausted right now. And they have this sense of feeling like they should be doing more, but they're struggling to find the motivation. And I was thinking about how motivation is often kind of the why behind we do a lot. Like, what we're motivated to do, we get done. We tend to get those things done. And a lot of times it's because there's a reward that we're being motivated by. That on the other end of whatever it is that I'm motivated to do, at the other end of it is a reward that's sort of kind of pulling me along to that finish line. There's sort of this idea that if I do this, if I'm motivated enough to start this, then at the end of it, things will be different and I'll be happier and better because of it. There's kind of some things maybe that you've seen or even heard, like maybe kids, if you're listening and you're a student right now, you've probably heard before, you know, if you get your homework done, then you can play the PS4. Or maybe you're a parent out there and you're thinking, if I can get the kids to bed on time and I can get all the dishes done and all the laundry folded, then I can finally relax. You know, it works in all sorts of ways, right? Kind of this, if I do something, if I'm motivated enough to start something, then I will receive this reward on the back end of this. A lot of times that's why people set fitness goals or even diet restrictions. You know, if I work out, then I can have a piece of cake, a red velvet cake, the way God intended cake to be made, right? Kind of an if-then relationship. Works in all sorts of ways. In fact, I've even been noticing that there's sort of this if-then relationship as a consumer today. A lot of talk about wearing masks, a lot of requirements around wearing masks. Like, if I wear a mask, then I can go into the grocery store. I actually wasn't a grocery store, but I had to take something in for service the other day. And it was going to be a curbside deal where I dropped this this thing off and it got serviced. And I showed up at the place and I ended up having to bring the item inside. And the person stopped me at the door and said, "Do you have a mask?" Basically, if I didn't have a mask, I couldn't walk in their store. But if I had a mask, then I could have this object of mine serviced and worked on. Our motivation is often, if I do something, then I'll be rewarded. If, then. And I want to ask you, because it's so much of how our lives and our world is sort of ordered and set up for us, does that work with prayer? And is that the right way to approach prayer? If I do something, then I should expect God to answer and deliver the way in which I hoped. I want to take you to a beautiful verse in Scripture. And it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And yet at the same time, I want to tell you that I think often this verse is misunderstood and misused as a way in which to think there's a formula for how we should approach our relationship with God and prayer. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, let me kind of set the context, because context is key with this verse. This is at a point in the life of God's people where they had fallen into this pattern of following God and then falling away from God. And at this juncture, Solomon has called the people, kind of started this revival of calling people back to God. And Solomon was charged with this really big task of rebuilding the temple for God. And he rebuilds the temple, and the people of God who had been kind of away from God, they had fallen into worshiping idols, they'd fallen into sin, they were partying hard away from God. And Solomon rebuilds the temple and calls the people back, and there's this great revival of people really being changed and transformed by a desire to seek the holiness of God. And it's an incredible moment. Solomon dedicates the temple, and there's prayers that are offered, and sort of fire consumes this altar and offering. It's just an amazing display of God coming into the lives of his people. But then God says these words: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Some of the most beautiful scripture ever written and recorded. And some of you reading this might think, well, there it is. There's sort of my motivation. I mean, right? I mean, he lists off some things after he says, "If my people," he says, "if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer and forgive them and heal their land." Some of you are thinking, well, there it is, Pastor. All I have to do is follow this if-then formula. But is that really how God works? I mean, you think about it, is that really how you would want God, a God of infinite goodness, to operate? And I want to tell you, this is what's so beautiful about God, is God is far greater than any formula we could try to derive from Scripture. If you think about it, if God really worked that way, then the opposite is true as well, that there'd be a punitive effect, that if I don't pray and seek God's face, then I don't have stand any shot of God hearing my prayer. This is why context is so important with this verse, because this is how God required the people in Solomon's day to live, under the law, under the requirements, kind of a legalistic, rules-based religion. And you read through the Old Testament and you see that the people consistently fell into this vicious cycle of following God for a little while and then sort of falling into patterns of sin and disobedience and wandering from God, and God even using moments of disobedience through the exile and through slavery to, in turn, bring them back to God. I mean, if it was entirely an if-then relationship, we would stand no chance of breaking that cycle. And that's why Jesus came. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have something that the people in Solomon's day didn't have. We have a new covenant. We have been given this grace of Jesus. And oh, that is good news. I mean, this is the good news that Jesus came to offer, that when you put your life in Christ Jesus, that you become a new creation. And that opens up this whole new realm of this divine conversation that you can have with God through Christ Jesus. I mean, think of some of the things that Jesus said, and they're really astonishing, right? I mean, Jesus said things like, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and they know me." Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." What's finished? What's finished is the old way of rules and regulations. Now you can have me, a relationship with me. And Jesus would say, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And see, this is where I think our problem with prayer truly lies. Because even though Jesus has come to set us free, if you've found the Son, you've been set free to live free. And yet so often we still approach prayer like it's a formula. If I pray enough, if I pray the right prayers, if I pray in just the right way, then I can hope, I can stand a chance of God hearing and answering my prayers. If I'm good enough, then God will answer me. And I want to tell you, if that's the way, if that formula is still the way that you're trying to seek a relationship with God, then you will continue to be disappointed, because Jesus has come to give you life and life to the full. And that may mean that in a walk with him, you will have to put all of your trust into his hands. I mean, think about it, especially when it comes to prayer. Have you ever had any unanswered prayers? Oh, I have. I've had lots and lots. But it hasn't really shaken my faith. And here's why. I know so many people that have had unanswered prayers and it just rocks them to the core, because they've felt like, "I've followed this pattern of if and then. I've prayed, but God has not answered me." So I just become worn out and disappointed and eventually walk away from God. I want to tell you that what is available for us is so much greater than just this if-then formula. In fact, if there's one thought, one way in which I would like you to think differently about prayer, is to not think of prayer as some sort of transactional business that you do with God. To move beyond thinking that somehow I pray as if to enact a transaction with God. Because prayer is so much more. Prayer is not a transactional business with God. Prayer is actually this source of power available to us. It's not a transaction. It's not, if I do something, then I get something from God. See, that is fundamentally opposed to what grace gives us. You can't get anything, because God gives us grace as a gift. He gives it to us freely, as our own. And you can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't fake it till you make it. All you can do is receive the gift of grace that is Jesus. I want to say, instead of thinking of it as a transaction, what if you received this gift of grace and your prayers were a gift, an opportunity to talk to God? And it wasn't thought of as in any way as a transaction, but as a source of power, as of like plugging into an eternal source of hope in times of despair, of power in feelings of weakness, of sufficiency, not in yourself, but in who Jesus Christ truly is. What if we saw our prayers as an opportunity to be recharged, to find the power again, and the power to move forward in life? Yeah, I was thinking about how so many of us, we rely on power. I mean, just take our electronic devices, take our phones. I mean, our phones are dying. My phone is recording this sermon right now, and It's starting to die. The batteries are being drained. And the only way to restore life into my phone again is I have to plug it in to an outlet. And then it can recharge to give me back the life of my mobile device. But what if we actually began to look at prayer as an opportunity to plug into an inexhaustible source of power? That if our time of prayer was not this transaction of, I need to get something from God, I need to get something off my chest, and God, you better hear me, and if I do the right things, then I can expect God to answer me. What if instead we viewed our time with God as an opportunity to recharge, to plug in, and we just allowed that to instill us with this incredible expectation of what only God can do, and would God then begin to unlock for us this vision to see what he's doing in the world all around us? And what if that was far more than we ever thought or imagined? I read a story of an amazing story, actually, of a man named Tom Moore. He's a 99-year-old World War II veteran from Britain. And for Tom, this COVID-19 has not been a setback, even though during this time, he had to have hip replacement surgery, all during this pandemic. And so Tom Moore decided that he would combine his rehab and his need to get some exercise with a little bit of a challenge to anyone who might want to follow him. He decided to walk in his garden 10 lengths every single day. And he hoped he could get maybe 10 or 15 people to sponsor him and maybe raise $1,000 for his national health system. He would walk these 10 lengths, challenge people to sponsor him, and maybe raise $1,000. Well, it turns out there's something very inspiring about a 99-year-old World War II veteran trying to raise money during COVID-19 and recovering from hip surgery that sparked something incredible in people. Tom Moore received over 1.5 million donations and raised just over $39 million. I gotta tell you, I think Tom Moore seriously overshot his goals. And think about it. He probably started this with the same sort of if-then formula. If I walk 10 lengths a day and get a few sponsors, then maybe I'll raise a little bit of money. And you see how there is the incredible possibility to do so much more. What if our prayers looked like that? We plugged into this power that is far greater than any one of us. In fact, that is what the scriptures invite us to. Look at these words in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What if that became our prayer? I mean, that we could lean into the God who does immeasurably more. I mean, not because of our power, but it says because of his power. I mean, these are such crazy times we're living in right now. And yet what hasn't changed is the God who says, you don't need a formula. You don't need to have it all figured out. But when you turn to me and you plug into my power, I can do immeasurably more than all you ever hoped for or imagined. I mean, what if we went into our time of prayer, not to follow a formula or to get God to do something, or even to say that God heard our prayers, but just to say, I want more of the God who is able to unleash his power around me, immeasurably more than I could ever hope or imagine. That is my prayer for you, and may that be your prayer in whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through right now. I want to invite you to just simply bow your head and to pray with me. Father God, I want to pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, because you are a God of incredible possibility, and the potential that you offer to us through your son Jesus is life-saving. That is the transformation of an opportunity to walk with your son Jesus into a life of eternity. God, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice who has never received that gift, who has never walked in that grace that you offer, that all that's required is not some list of rules, not getting yourself cleaned up, but just simply submitting your life and saying, Jesus, I give you all of my life. I submit my life into your hands, and you promise to give me life, life now and life eternal. The best gift, the best offer ever is available to step into it, to be enlivened with who Jesus is and to follow him every day for the rest of your life. In your name we pray. Amen.